You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that. I've lived with it so long, it's hard to imagine a time when it wasn't the case. I'm sure there's some out there that can remember when it wasn't the case, but most of us really can't. The sexual revolution, it's underway, it's a war, and has become a war between men and women, at least from the feminist side. There's no doubt about that. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Suzanne Venker is going to join us for the first few minutes of the program. We're going to talk about a new book that's out called The End of Men and the Rise of Women and its long connection to feminism. After that, we'll be talking with Chaplain Ron Cruz about the one-year anniversary of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue in the U.S. military, followed by some audio open lines, a CBS News interview with Joel Osteen. He's got a new book. This would be his fourth bestseller. It's called I Declare, 31 Promises to Speak Over Your Life. I'll get your reaction to that CBS interview a little bit later here in the first hour of the program. Then in hour two, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and Pastor Tom Baker will join us. Pastor Baker will lead us with the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or leave a question or comment for audio open lines on Joel Osteen's latest book at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Suzanne Venker is a regular guest, a married mother of two in St. Louis, author of the book Seven Myths of Working Mothers, The Flip Side of Feminism, and a forthcoming publication, How to Choose a Husband. And she's also written a recent article titled The Sexual Revolution is Dead. Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
You say that when it comes to the sexual revolution, the goal was never equality. What was the goal?
So the way it was billed, of course, was that the feminist movement in the 60s was going to piggyback off of the what they referred to as the original feminist movement, which was the right to vote, the suffragette movement. And because of that, they were able to get people on board. Because, of course, everyone thinks women should vote, so therefore there must be more to this thing. So they sold it based on the idea this is all about women's rights and we're going to level the playing field because women are second-class citizens, essentially. But really, it's been a very large-scale effort, and it's taken 40 years now, more than 40 years, to see the results, to really create an androgynous world, where men and women are essentially interchangeable, that whatever women can do, men can do just as well, and vice versa, that there are no inherent biological differences between the sexes that make one better at something than the other, because that makes them unequal. So in other words, rather than understanding what most of us understood that equality really was, which is just being equal in worth, they were teaching this notion that equal means the same. And to them, America will never be fair until men and women can be completely interchangeable.
So how would you describe the strategy that's been unfolding over the last couple of years in the various articles and now culminating with this book, The End of Men and the Rise of Women? It's been, as you point out, about 5 years in the making.
It has. I mean, if you're, most people not, can't necessarily pay attention. They're working, raising kids. They're not necessarily up on this, but it's important that they are, because there is a full-scale effort for what we just talked about still going on, and the movers and the shakers in that world are all feminists, and they all know one another, and they have a lot of clout, and they are churning out article and book after article and book that are influencing people. Obviously, that's what books are supposed to do, in what I consider to be the wrong direction, I think most people would. This latest book by Hannah Rosen is called The End of Men and the Rise of Women. And this book is just came out this month, is a larger version of her initial article from 2010 in The Atlantic, which had got incredible media coverage, and the title of that was just The End of Men. And she's now, you know, extrapolated a whole book out of this. Now, what she's basically addressing is the fact that women are now the majority of college campuses and the majority of the workforce. And they consider, they meaning she and her like-minded friends, think this is a great thing because, in fact, that's what they wanted all along. And that's where I go back to my whole point of this really wasn't about equality. This was about women, really what they consider switching places, you know, having women be in charge and men not, for lack of a better way of putting it. So that whole equality thing was a ruse. It was really about women being exactly where they seem to be headed right now, which is very concerning and should be concerning to people, but it is not concerning to them. They think this is great. So you're seeing all these articles and books that are touting this as a wonderful thing. Another one was The Richer Sex by Liza Mundy. And basically in that book she's saying, we really need to just accept the fact that there's a whole new world order that is existing now, and men are going to have to completely change who they are and what they're all about, as are women, or I should say to keep up with women and this new world order. And they're really fighting Mother Nature, human nature. They're fighting biology. This is what they wanted all along.
Now, it strikes me that these kind of articles, these books, can only be written in, even with a bad economy, a very well-heeled Western culture where women are afforded and ought to be afforded pretty much limitless opportunity. In the rest of the world, the majority of the planet's population, this is nonsense.
It's so over the top that it's laughable. I mean, to think that we are not already light years ahead of other nations in terms of quote-unquote equality or opportunity or whatever word you want to give it, is laughable. Women have never had it so great in this country, and a lot of that has to do with men. Men are the ones who created the technology that have allowed women to have really cushy lives, quite frankly. And this whole notion of balance that we hear about left and right and wanting to live more balanced lives is really something that women want more than anything. And in order to really have that, you really need to depend on men and their more linear goals in order to have it. Because if you want to stay home with your kids for X amount of years, if you don't want to climb the fast track but you want to have time to exercise or cook or do all these wonderful things that make life, you need to depend on a man at some point. And that gets into my new book, because that's really the underpinning of my argument with my new book, which is that women, this generation of women and the one before it, were raised to never depend on a man, that is just the worst thing you could possibly do. And that, to me, has really screwed them up, for lack of a better phrase.
So while they're talking independence and really just living the illusion of independence, denying the fact that much of what they tout as the new next step of female evolution depends mm-hmm. upon men to make the engine go, at least in part, you're talking about interdependence, aren't you?
I am. I mean, and that's really not a new concept. I mean, I believe that back in those supposedly awful days of the 50s, there was an understanding there. Life wasn't perfect, don't get me wrong, but there was an understanding there that each sex brought something to the table, and that together they were supposed to be complementary. It wasn't a wanting up, you know, I'll one-up you, which is basically where we are today. It was about, this is your role, this is my role, and together it makes this great thing. Now, it's never going to be perfect, but that should still be the goal if we're going to be happy and we're going to have healthy marriages. To put us to pit us against one another and really make this a war, which is what they've done, is absolutely catastrophic. I mean, there's nothing good that can come of that. If we don't bring the sexes together, then marriage will cease to exist. And, you know, not to get all depressing or anything, but that's really going to be the end of civilization if it dies out. So there's nothing good about having a war between women and men. At this point, it's gotten to the place where we really have got to do the exact reverse. How are they going to come together? We've got to be able to get them together in a way that honors their biology and understands what the whole argument for gender role reversal or equality or opportunities and all that but mix it with what we know is static about us as humans, and that is, you know, our biology. How are we going to do that going forward?
Two quick final questions there on that subject. One of the things that's often lost in all of this, all of the feminist rhetoric about their so-called advances in the sexual revolution, are the kids. What are your thoughts? About a minute.
Well, the kids, there's no question that the kids have been completely lost in the shuffle during this whole 40-year war. There's no discussion of what children's needs are. You're not even allowed to discuss children's needs because, of course, the engine of the feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality. And without those two things, they have no movement. So there is no acknowledgement of what children's rights and or needs are in this discussion. It is solely about adult needs, and that, you know, obviously I don't think any of us really think that that's a good thing.
About 30 seconds, how would you respond to someone, and they often make the case, that the only reason the war of the sexual revolution continues is because men keep fighting it? About 30 seconds.
Men aren't fighting it. Men are doing what they're told, basically. They are sitting back and sort of letting it be duped out, if you will, and they're trying to follow suit. But basically, women have shoved them to the side to the point where they really don't have a voice in America anymore. And I hear from them. And they are retreating from marriage, by the way. This is very important, and that was actually not just my own research, but Pew just came out with a study that showed that women are actually wanting to be married more than they were 15 years ago, but it's the reverse for men. Men are not wanting to, and they're retreating. That's a problem.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two in St. Louis. She's author of the book Seven Myths of Working Mothers, The Flip Side of Feminism, and a forthcoming publication, How to Choose a Husband. She's also written a recent article titled The Sexual Revolution is Dead. You can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Chaplain Ron Cruz will join us. We'll talk about the one-year anniversary of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue in the U.S. military.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.